ladies. That was beautiful. Let's have the special go ahead and get in place now. I'll just say a quick word here about Brother Martin, a good friend of mine. He's been in evangelism for 17 years over. That's not easy in this day and age, folks, starting out. And I got a future son-in-law that's going to be doing that. And I tell you, I pray about that for him already, because it's just not easy to start out in evangelism and stay plugged at it. But this man has done it. He's used. God's blessed him and helped him. And I just appreciate his friendship. So now, when he's done preaching, after the invitation, I want him to say a word about the table out here, because there's a lot of good printed material he brings with him. And I want that to be fresh in your mind when you go. So after these folks sing, then we'll have Brother Martin come bring the morning messages.
The throne. Amen. I know sometimes we hear that and we read that and we think, wow, how can I do that? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for what He's done for us. Well, it's good to be here today, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here and to be able to spend the day with you. It's good to have my daughter, and she went and helped these last couple weeks at camp out there with Brother Hanks, and well, your preacher did a fantastic job out there the last 2 days of the camp, and the first couple of days, Brother Dawson, the Lord just kind of meshed everything together. We had a great, great week. And as he said, I think it was 12, the final total was 12 that were saved. But one of the interesting things, I've been doing camp directing for a long time, but we had more young men than we had young ladies there this week. That's a good sign. That is a good sign. I've been waiting for the day that we could say that. And another one of the great things is that the first seven people that were saved were all young men. And not only that, every one of them broken, weeping, sobbing, and saved, most of them, on the way back to the dorm at night after everything was done, grabbing their counselor saying, I got to talk with you. You know God's doing something in the hearts and lives. And so I thank the Lord for that. And even after Brother Angel preached on Thursday night during the testimony time, I think we had two people saved during the testimony time afterwards. So what a powerful thing. It is good to be here. I hope I can be a help to you today. Maybe a different kind of Sunday morning message, but what the Lord really impressed upon my heart to go this direction. So grab your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to speak about what I believe is the greatest principle in the Word of God. I was preaching with Brother Jerry Ross in a meeting this year, and I preached another message on the thought, what I'm going to preach on today. And he got up, he preached after me, and he said, I believe that in every meeting in America, this subject must be preached on. He said, it is so vital and so important. You say, what is it? What are you going to preach about this morning, Brother Martin? I want to preach on the greatest principle in the Word of God, the principle of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Boy, thank God that He is a God that has forgiven us. Given us the opportunity to have a home in heaven because of our Savior, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Were it not for the forgiveness of God, we would all have no hope. There'd be no reason to be here today if it were not for the forgiveness of Almighty God. Let's think about it in this respect. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The forgiveness of Almighty God. Through Jesus. It tells us many passages we could read, but I'll just give you a few verses here. And it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It says in Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. That's why we have the church. Amen. That's what the church is all about. You say, well, it's here to come and to get strengthened. For what purpose? To tell other people that there's a God that forgives and loves them and wants them to have a home in heaven, wants them to be saved too. Amen. Tells us over in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Thank God for the riches of His grace. Amen. Forgiveness through Jesus. It says also in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, almost the same thing to the church at Colossae, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It says in Psalm 130 and verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Amen. It says in Psalm 86 and verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. You know, you look it up, the word forgiveness in your concordance, and if you look it up in the Webster's 1828, you're going to find out that basically there's two words given in the definition of the word forgiveness. Two important words. You say, what are they? Number one, the word freedom. Freedom. Forgiveness is all about freedom. We were freed from our sins because of the forgiveness of Almighty God. Amen. Boy, there is freedom in forgiveness. Amen. And not only that, the word pardon. It says pardon of an offender. And the word pardon means the release of an offense or of the obligation of the offender to suffer a penalty. That's what pardon is all about. Amen. Thank God that we're pardoned through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for His great forgiveness for us. But that's not necessarily what direction I'm going with this today. You say, what do you mean? We sit here and we're saying amen and glory to God. Thank God that we have forgiveness through Him. But I believe that one of the greatest sins and one of the greatest things that's hindering the body of Christ and personal believers today is our lack of forgiveness. Well, we're sure thankful that God's forgiven us. But boy, when it comes to forgiving a brother or sister, when it comes to forgiving a lost person who's ignorant, that does not know any better, now, that's another story. I hear it all the time, but Brother Martin, you don't understand what they have done to me. And boy, most of the time when I counsel with somebody and they share something, and I'll sit there, and if I've not been through it, I have to say, I don't understand that. They say, how can I forgive? I say, I don't understand exactly what you've been through, but I know somebody that does. The Lord Jesus knows exactly what you've been through. And He, when He stretched out His arms on the cross, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, it's recorded, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, preacher, a lot of times people do things to us, and we get so consumed in holding things against people, and they many times do not even know the depth of what they have done to us. Don't understand it, but yet we'll cling to it and hold on to it and don't want to forgive people. You say, how? Brother Martin, how in the world can I forgive? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Look at what the Apostle Paul said here to the church at Colossae. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Notice what it says. Even as Christ forgave you, so also. But how can I forgive somebody that's done something so terrible to me, Brother Martin, even as Christ? There's no other way. What do you mean? There's no other way. Only to follow the Scripture, even as Christ. That's what I want to speak about for just a few moments this morning. Even as Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I do pray that You'd bless these next few moments we have to spend together. Lord, teach us, instruct us from the truth of Your Word. And God, I pray that maybe someone that's sitting here today, maybe that does not understand even Your forgiveness, that they would receive it today. But Lord, those of us that sit here today and have relished in the fact that we're forgiven and we're blood-bought and we're on our way to heaven, God, I beg You, You break our hearts about the matter of letting go and forgiving, even as Christ. Lord, we'll be careful to give You the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is more of a Bible study, but I sure hope it challenges your heart today. In Matthew chapter number 6, we look at the first passage here. This is the passage that the Lord Jesus gave to His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount concerning prayer. It says here in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a pretty powerful verse. God, forgive me the way that I forgive other people. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we think that's where it ends, but it doesn't end there. That is the end of the model prayer. But he goes back and he adds a couple more verses in context. It says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Notice what he says. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Preacher, I wonder how many times we go to the Lord and say, God, please forgive me, please forgive me. And we don't receive that forgiveness. Why? Because you're not forgiving somebody else. The truth of the Word of God is, unless you forgive other people, you can't receive the forgiveness from Almighty God. Amen. That's the truth of the Word of God. To understand the depth and the power of this thing about forgiveness, you know, this is just the first point here. There's a few points I'm going to give you here. This is the first one. If we really, truly want to receive that forgiveness from God, we've got to be open enough to let go and forgive everybody else. We can't do that. We can't get receive forgiveness from God. I really believe that that's why so many Christians are miserable. We go to God and we pray, God, oh, please forgive me. God, help me. Forgive me for this and forgive me for that. And the Lord says, you go make things right. You let go of something and then you can receive the forgiveness from the Father. Amen. You say, well, you know, every time I ever hear a message on forgiveness, preacher, my mind automatically goes to somebody or something. What do you mean? I try to keep my heart as clean as I can. But this is what I'm trying to give you today is how important it is that we are a truly forgiving people. Why? So that we can have the power of God in our life. Ain't going to have it if we're not going to forgive. Amen. We see, first of all, if we want forgiveness, then we have to be willing to forgive others. Forgiveness with man is a prerequisite to the forgiveness of God. You know what it says over there in Mark? Turn over to Mark chapter 5 and verse 23. Mark chapter 5, or excuse me, Matthew chapter 5. I'm just back a page. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Because he said, don't you even come to the altar to pray to me until you make things right. Somebody has aught against you. I've heard people say before, well, you know what? It's not me. It's all their faults, all their problems, all their... Hey, listen, we need to do everything we can do to make sure that we're right with everybody. People that have things against us, whatever. We need to be willing to accept the wrong. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's Christ-like. Amen. Oh, to be able to forgive even as Christ. Notice what it also, over in Matthew chapter 18. This is a powerful passage. Look over there. Matthew chapter 18. So we see, first of all, if we're not going to forgive, we cannot be forgiven. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not me until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I think Peter really thought, Brother Caleb, that he was doing something great here by saying, you know, if I forgive him seven times, he sins against me, I forgive him seven times, should I do that? That's the number of completion. I mean, Lord says, let's try 70 times seven. What? I mean, forgive and 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 forgive. Amen. I want you to notice something about that verse, what Peter said there. Notice what he said. He said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He did not say, how oft shall my brother sin against me and ask for my forgiveness and I forgive him? That's the kind of spirit God wants us to have, that when we're sinned against, we just let go of it. Amen. Why does somebody have to come and beg us to forgive them? That's not what forgiveness is all about. Hey, man, forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is pardon. Amen. You say, well, I've been done unjustly, just like our Savior was done unjustly. But yet He laid down His life. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Notice what the story that he goes on. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. You study that out, you'll find out that that's over $50 million. Oh, over $50 million. It goes on to say here, and the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. We can't fathom that. $50 million debt that somebody would just let go of and forgive. I mean, this guy, he was at his wit's end. He just fell down. Just somehow, I'll pay you back if you'll just... And it says he loosed him. and forgave him. He didn't say, okay, I'll give you a chance to pay me back. He said, it's taken care of. It's forgiven. Beautiful picture of salvation. Beautiful picture of salvation. A debt we can never pay back. A debt we, there's no way, possible way. But notice what it goes on to say. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. You look that up and you're going to find out that it's probably about 40 bucks. So he found somebody that owed him $40, and notice what he did to him. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Started choking this guy, saying, pay me that thou owest. You say, how ridiculous. Man, a guy's been forgiven $50 million and he goes, runs out and finds somebody right away that owes him 40 bucks and starts choking him to death. That's about as ridiculous as it is for you and I to be forgiven the great sin debt that we have, to be forgiven and let go, pardon that we don't have to go to hell, and we will not let go of something that somebody does to us in this life. That's about how silly that is. Amen. And it goes on to say here, and notice what happens. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. But doesn't that sound just like us, man? Forgiven, blood bought, on our way to heaven, but boy, you let somebody do something to us. It says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest thou not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. Notice what it says. Delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. What does that mean then? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. What's that? I believe what it's saying in context, you'd be delivered to the tormentor. What do you mean? Anybody that holds on to unforgiveness and will not let go and forgive somebody will live in torment. In this life. I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about you're going to live in torment until you let go of that thing and get it right. So we see, first of all, we see that unforgiveness, if we won't forgive somebody, we can't be forgiven from God. Secondly, we see if we won't forgive somebody, we're going to live in torment. Boy, this is a good road we're heading down, isn't it, holding on to our unforgiveness? I mean, we're just really, man, this is exciting. Notice what it says next. Let me show you something else. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Flip over there. In Mark chapter 11. Let me just ask you a question while you're turning there. How many of you really believe that you deserve the forgiveness of God? So if we don't deserve it, why in the world won't we let go of something that somebody does to us in this life? Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Notice what it says here. It says, Jesus saith unto them, have faith in God. This is a promise, a prayer promise here. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Boy, what a prayer promise. Amen. Thank God for that. How many of you believe that God can take and move mountains out of your way if you by faith trust him, that he has the ability to be able to do that? I believe that with all my heart. But it goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But that's not the end of the context. There's two more verses. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespass. You say that's the same thing you said in the Sermon on the Mount. That's not the Sermon on the Mount, though. This is a different passage. And in context, you cannot take away from what he's saying here. What do you mean? If you want power in prayer with God, you've got to forgive. How are you going to have power in prayer with God if you can't forgive somebody? God can take and move a mountain out of your way. God can take and do great and mighty miracles in your life. But when you stand praying to Him, forgive. Man, think about this. I can't get forgiveness with God if I can't forgive my brother. I mean, if I can't forgive my brother, I'm going to be in torments. If I can't forgive my brother, I'm not going to have power and prayer with God. Amen. Forgiveness with man is the key that unlocks the door to the power of prayer with God. Listen, forgiveness, just like salvation, is an unconditional doctrine. So what do you mean by that? Salvation is conditioned only upon what Jesus Christ did. Forgiveness is the same way. Forgiveness is freedom and pardon. It's not conditioned upon somebody coming to you and asking you forgiveness. It's not conditioned on any of that. It's unconditional. We are supposed to let go, just like He did. Amen. True forgiveness. Either you got it, either you've given it, or you haven't. Don't tell me, well, I've forgiven them, but I'm never going to forget about it. No, what you're saying is, I'm going to bring it back up again every time something happens. True forgiveness lets go of that. True forgiveness cuts all of the purse strings to injustice. Every string is clipped. Not to be brought up again. Husbands and wives, how much more God could do in your families and your homes if you just cut those purse strings that you keep bringing back up over again and again and again. Well, let go of it. Truly forgive one another. But you don't know what? How can I? Even as Christ. Amen. Notice, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I think this is really powerful here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know what happened over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know the sin that Apostle Paul said the church needed to deal with. You know what he said he should do to them. Turn them over for the destruction of the flesh. Well, now it's 2 Corinthians, and now he's dealing with the church again, but he goes back to that issue. You say, why does he? I don't know all of the details. I've studied it out a little bit, but I don't know exactly how it comes to this, but he goes back to deal with it. I just think in my mind that somehow that guy must have tried to get right, because he addresses it here again. But notice what he says in chapter 2 and verse number 4, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if you have caused any grief, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many." Notice what he says now. "So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him." Oh, so it's time to forgive. Yeah, it's time to forgive. Notice what it goes on. Not just forgive, and comfort him. Oh, a guy that took his stepmother? I mean, forgive him. What have you done in your life that God's forgiven for you? To comfort him. Comfort, yeah. That's not the end of it. "Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." Not just forgive, but comfort and love him. How in the world do you do that? Notice what he goes on to say. "For to this end did I write, that I might know the proof of you, or whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything," notice what he says, "to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." How do I forgive? Even as Christ. How's the Apostle Paul to say, you know what, go on, go forward and everything. Hey, I've forgiven in the person of Christ. But wait a minute, there's something attached to it. This is why. What's the next verse? "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us." How many of you want Satan to have advantage? This is talking about the church. How many of you want Satan to have an advantage over your church? When we hold on to unforgiveness, we're giving him the advantage. I don't know who it might be holding something against one another in the body of Christ here. I don't know who it is that maybe you've been holding on to something for a long time. Do you know that you, my friend, are giving Satan an advantage? Just me? If we could take it and realize, yes, just you. The body is one. Hath many members, but it's one. Man, when you got a cold, it affects every part of your body. Amen. And when your hand's cut, it affects every part of your body, especially if it's in your hand that you write with and everything. You can't use it. It affects everything that's going on. When you will not forgive, you are affecting every part of the body. Amen. The lack of forgiveness today. Oh, to take on the mind of Christ. Forgiveness is a seed of light and life. But unforgiveness is a seed of darkness and death. There's nothing light. There's nothing right about unforgiveness. Nothing at all.
But you don't understand, Brother Martin. You don't understand what's happened. You don't understand what I've done. I understand what the Word of God says. Amen. Forgiveness is the Spirit of Christ.
Unforgiveness is the spirit of Antichrist.
What?
Yeah. When you will not forgive, you are living in a spirit of Antichrist. Amen, Brother Martin.
Forgiveness is a seed that buds and brings forth beauty.
Unforgiveness is a seed that burrows into a root of bitterness, affecting all in its path.
Flip over to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen, when I think of forgiveness,
Brother Mike, when I think of forgiveness, I think of something that springs out of the ground like a flower that has beauty, that sends forth a fragrance. That's the way God sees it when we forgive. But when I think about unforgiveness, I think about something that just burrows into the ground and the root just goes deep down it and never can see it. It just goes down in and it begins to affect everything around it. I mean, how many of you love being around bitter people?
You say, I run from bitter people. Why? Because I don't want what they got. I don't want to get affected by it.
Of course, we're living in a day and age where some people gravitate to it. God help us. But notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Friends, you can talk to you can ask your preacher this. You can ask any of the other men that have been preachers here for any amount of time. But I'm telling you from my perspective, being in church for a long time and being in the ministry for 17 years, if you allow a root of bitterness to get into your life, we preach it all the time, preacher. Dig that root out. Dig that root out. How often do you see a root of bitterness ever dug out? Very, 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 very rarely does anybody ever get rid of bitterness when it gets hold, when that root gets down there.
How do we get that?
Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the seed that starts it all.
Amen. If we can just let go when we're done wrong, when injustice, if we can just let go of it, there's never a chance to
fall into a root of bitterness.
Amen.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's the last passage I'll have you turn to. I'm going to share just a couple thoughts with you and I'll be done. A couple testimonies. Ephesians chapter number 4. You notice we've turned about all of the church epistles here, you know, and we, you know how much this is talked about in the Scriptures. I kind of got a hunch the Lord wants us to live this. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. I believe all those that followed bitterness come because of bitterness. Be put away from you with all malice. Now notice what it says. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh, here it is again. Even as God For Christ's sake, hath forgiven me.
How can I forgive somebody when they've done something so unjust to me?
Even as Christ. You get the picture here. We'll come down to the close of this thing. You do not have the power to forgive somebody yourself. So what do you mean by that? Only through the Spirit of God that lives in you. Only. If you're a lost person today, it's very difficult for you to ever let go of anything. Why? Because you don't have that Spirit of Christ. You don't have the Spirit of God living in you. Amen. Why do we have a world that's so violent and so, why is it the people, all the wars and all the battles getting worse and worse and worse and people killing each other over silly little things and everything? Because they don't have the Spirit of Christ and they're not able to know what it means to forgive. Until you receive the forgiveness from Almighty God, you can never forgive anybody else. It'll always be a battle in your life. I was thinking, I'll share a couple testimonies with you, I'll be done. I was thinking about, by the way, forgiveness is a cure for the cancer of bitterness. Forgiveness is the cure for the cancer of bitterness. I had a preacher call me not long ago, Brother Angel, from Pennsylvania, a preacher friend of mine. I preached revivals for him, preached school revivals. And he left a message on my phone. I was in a meeting and asked me to just pray for him. He said, I need the wisdom of God. I really need the wisdom of God. I've got something going on in my church. I'm just, boy, and he's got a big church. And they run probably 700, 800. So I called him back after the service and said, Preacher, what is it? You know, what can I help you with? What? And he goes, well, and he mentioned a lady in his church. He said, you remember, it was a Christian school teacher in the church. And I go, yeah, I remember she had been going through some struggles, her and her husband. She was raised in the church there. Everybody loved her, just a sweet lady, raised in the church, married this guy. He got involved in the church, became a bus captain. They worked on the bus route together and everything, serving the Lord together. The guy got sideways with the preacher, and so he stopped, gradually stopped coming to church. His wife was still faithful. She's still a teacher in this Christian school. Did a little bit of teaching, extracurricular teaching for some public schools also. Everybody loved her to death. 16-year-old boy, 14-year-old boy. He started getting distant, and she was contemplating separating from him because he come to the point where he said he's an atheist now. This guy that run bus ministry, working bus routes and all that, and he said he just didn't believe in God, and he would leave for a few days at a time, come back. Well, he left for a couple days, came back, and they got into an argument. He reached in the drawer, he pulled out a 9mm, he shot and killed his wife, and turned the gun on himself and killed himself. He said, I got to preach the funeral for both of them. He's still a member of our church. He said, there's a lot of people upset. There's a lot of people angry. There's a lot of people. He said, I encourage the church, please, please, please. We've got to do what the Lord Jesus would do. You need to be here. You need to support it. That family, his family, we have no clue what God wants to do if we'll just do right. He said, would you pray for me? I'm preaching his funeral Thursday night. I'm preaching her funeral on Saturday. I said, I'll be praying for you, preacher. I kind of left him go until Saturday evening. I called him. I said, how'd it go? He said, Brother Dan, he said, it went really good. I sure appreciate your prayers. He said, Thursday night, he said, a lot of our church folks showed up. He said, there's a good crowd of people there for the service. He said, the family of that young man was so overwhelmed. He said, I led his two brothers to the Lord at the altar that night after the service. They could not believe that there's people that could forgive what he had done to his dear wife. I said, how'd it go today? And he said, Brother Dan, he said, it went really, really well. He said, the auditorium was packed. They'll probably seat over 1,000 in the auditorium. Auditorium was packed, people outside and everything, people listening in other rooms. He said, there's a lot of upset people there. There's some people who didn't come to the other funeral, just upset. And he said, I started out the message by saying to him, I know that there's every one of you here loved dearly, and mentioned the lady's name. He said, and there's a lot of angry people here right now. There's a lot of people that don't understand what's gone on. A lot of people that, he said, but I want to warn you about something. He said, you better be careful. And you better let go of the anger that you have. Because if you don't, it's going to turn into bitterness. And this is the statement that he made. I wrote it down. I'll never forget this. He said, bitterness is the match that burns the bridge to forgiveness. Bitterness is the match
that burns the bridge to forgiveness. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying if we won't forgive, it will develop into bitterness, and then there's no forgiveness. Share one last testimony with you here. I was doing the camp 2 years ago. I don't know if I ever shared this story with you, brother. During a bonfire time, there was a young lady that had come with a group from her church. She was 19 years of age. She brought about, I don't know, there was probably 18 or 20 people from their church there. And that week, their kids had made some good decisions and everything. But at the end of the week, we had a bonfire service, and the kids got up and gave some testimonies about what they, you know, had made decisions they had made. But apparently, there was a lot of friction going on in the youth group. And her prayer had been that they would make things right and get right. So they're giving their testimonies and everything, and it kind of got quiet after a little bit. And she raised her hand and she said, Brother Martin, could I give a testimony? And I said, sure. She was a very happy-go-lucky, jovial kind of gal, you know. And I said, sure, go ahead. And she got up and she said, I'm thankful for the decisions that have been made. And I've had a great week, and I'm thankful for the decisions that our youth group has made. And she said, I'm telling you something. If our youth group doesn't let go of some things with one another and get right with one another, we're going to go back the same youth group we were. We'll never change if we're not going to let go of and forgive things. She went on to tell this story. Pretty horrific story. She began to weep and cry. And she said, I don't understand why you can't let go and forgive. She said, when I was 13 years of age, my father began to abuse me. She said, when I was 16 years of age, by this time she's just sobbing. She says, I became pregnant with my father's child. She said, I have a 3-year-old son that my mother is taking care of. My dad's in prison the rest of his life, and she's just sobbing and crying. She said, but by the grace of God, I have forgiven him. So why can't you let go? Why can't you forgive? How can I do it? The only way, even as Christ. There's no other way. If you don't know Him, you can't forgive. And if you do, that's the pattern that you got to follow. Why is this thing so important? Because if you're not going to forgive, He's not going to forgive. Why is this thing so important? Because if you're not going to forgive, you're going to be in torments. Why is this thing so important? Because if you don't forgive, you're giving Satan an advantage over the whole church. Amen. Why is it so important? Because if you don't forgive, you're not going to have power in prayer with God. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying we need to get to the place that we practice what we say we have. Amen. We say we have forgiveness. Now it's time that we start practicing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let me ask you a couple questions this morning. Most important question, do you know for sure that you are forgiven? Are you sure beyond any shadow of a doubt if you were to die right now that you would go to heaven? You say, I can raise my hand as a testimony to that, Brother Martin. I don't have any doubt whatsoever. You'd slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Have no doubts whatsoever about that. I see those hands. You put your hands down. That was not everybody's hand raised. And I appreciate you being honest. But friend, can I ask you this morning, do you not want to know that your sins are forgiven? Do you not want to know that you are a child of God and on your way to heaven? You'd say, Brother Martin, I don't know that, but if I can know that, and if that Bible can show me how, I want to know that today. Would you pray for me? You'd slip your hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. Anybody at all, you'd slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that today, but I'd sure like, I see that hand there at the balcony. Anybody else? Brother Martin, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. anybody. But the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? That's two. Anybody else? Raise your hand. I don't know that I see that hand. Thank you. I appreciate you being honest, sir. Anybody else? Brother Martin, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, if I can know that forgiveness, I sure want to know it. Would you pray for me, Brother Martin? Anybody else? I want to know that. Anybody else? Raise your hand with these three or four that raised their hand. Anybody else? Let me ask you this question. I'll come back to you in just a moment. How many of you, be honest, just be honest. You say, Brother Martin, I feel like I'm held captive right now in my life. Because there's some things in my life that I've struggled for so long, I just don't seem to be able to let go of. God spoke to my heart about something specific today. Would you pray with me that I'd make it right? Slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I see that hand and that hand and that hand and that hand. Anybody else? Brother Martin, pray for me. There's some things in my life. Let me just help you with something. That person that you hear their name and you get this queasy feeling in your stomach, you've got something against them and you've not let go of it. Why don't you let go so that you can have power of God? Let's stand our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's what we're going to do. Musician's going to play here in just a moment. If you raised your hand, and those who raised your hand, and you said, I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I want to know that. I want you to come right away as we begin to pray. The preacher's going to take you and have somebody to deal with you, share with you the truth of the Word of God, so that before you walk out of here today, you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know you're a child of God on your way to heaven. Those of you that raised your hand, holding on to some things, I'll pray for you, but you got to make the move. You got to come. You've got to let go. How do I do it? Even as Christ. Father, I pray that you'd bless this altar time. I pray for those who raised a hand that said they're not sure that heaven's their home and they need to know that. God, give them the courage to just step out and come forward. Help them to know this church loves them and wants them to have that assurance of an eternal home in heaven. I pray for those that raised their hand struggling with different things in their life and not being able to let go of injustices and things that have happened. God, please help them to be able to let go and to forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory for what you accomplish in this altar time. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.